You know what he has to say? If we find ourselves with the desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, it's most probably, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. If there's something you want, you just can't find it here, it's because you probably don't belong here. So that's what he says. I'm a stranger and I need help while I'm down here. I understand what you're wanting me to do and how to get it done, because I'm walking blindly without you. Help me live bountifully is what he's asking. It requires information. The next thing he says, my soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all time. That's interesting. My soul is crushed with longing. This shows humility, doesn't it, before him. Is it okay to be broken? We think that's a negative thing, don't we? To be brokenhearted? It's interesting because we say, someone broke my heart. Or someone's all broken up over something. We always look at it as a negative thing. But who does God look to with favor and grace? Who does he give rest to? The one that is broken, that's exhausted, has that contrite heart. And here the writer is saying that without your ordinances, I don't know what I'm doing. And I just fail miserably. And I'm broken. I need you. I long for your instruction that comes only from you. So it's good to have this humility that you acknowledge you need help. Because the person that does not have this thinks they're okay on their own and they're not going to seek for God. They think they have enough information, they don't need help at all. And so this causes us, as we look around the world, to realize it's not a very nice place in many ways. And so we long even more for the sanity and the safety that only God's word can provide. You know, because it's been said, if everyone was a Christian, would there be any need for policemen, prisons? You know, would there ever be divorce courts? Well, of course not. Now, that implies that everyone's living a Christian perfectly, because even Christians have problems, right? Now, how long does it take you to live in this world to realize there's problems? We were talking, I don't even remember who, at lunch with that young 8-year-old that was killed in an apartment parking lot playing just on his little bike. Did I say that right? Wasn't that sad? Guy was coming through too fast on his big truck, and it's an apartment parking lot. You know there's kids playing. Going too fast, hit the kid and killed it. And the people who interviewed how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? Well, that's an accident. Well, then there was another one last week where there was a drunk who's already been convicted once, has been in jail, didn't have a license, was driving 4 times the legal limit, and he hit a lady, and it killed her 2 children and her niece. Did you see that last week? And you saw him, he was appearing before court without a scratch on him. The whole family wiped out, and he shouldn't have been driving. He should have been in jail already. When you do go to Africa, your heart just goes out for the poverty you see around you. And you know that it's not necessary, but there's so much corruption in the political system around there that the money that does come, they use it for their own gain, and they starve their own people. And it's not long your heart gets broken, right? It's all right. It's all right to feel that, because a person who doesn't feel that won't want to help. It's only the people that have a sense of the lost souls around them that grieves for them is going to cry, say, I long for your ordinances. I long for your instruction, not just for me, so I can share them with others and I can make a difference in this world while I'm here just for a little while. Powerful stuff, isn't it? Then he says, you rebuke the arrogant and the cursed who wander from your commandments. The arrogant, they're the ones that were insolent. They get to a place while they're walking on this earth, they realize, I got it all together. I don't need any help. So the last thing they do is look to God. And so we're going to see in the next verse, they belittle us. They belittle Christians. They make fun of them. But he says they're going to be rebuked by God. They're going to be brought low. So you say, is it better to be arrogant or to be broken? The broken is going to have a bountiful life, and the arrogant are what? Going to be rebuked or brought low. Well, I guess I'll choose humble and broken. Let God will work with me. They wander from their, his commandments. In other words, they don't pay attention to them anymore. Verse 22, he says, take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. What the arrogant often will do when you're still following Christ, they will ridicule. Now, this is one of the biggest tools Satan's used is to get you to quit or to give up. It's called despair. And he does it by making fun of Christians. Now, the two words are interesting. Reproach is one word, but contempt is even stronger. Reproach is when you rebuke someone, but contempt is I regard you as useless and of absolutely no value. No value. That's contempt. No regard for you. Everyone wants to be noticed in this world, don't they? They want to be counted as significant. That's why in school, you want to be picked on a team. Remember they're lining up at recess? Nothing hurts worse when you're the last person, you're picked last, or you're not picked at all. After a while, what do you think of yourself? I'm of no value. Nobody cares about me. I'm worthless. Society teaches us that, doesn't it? As we're growing up, if we're not one of the ones picked. What's so hard about a breakup when you're a teenage in romance and your girlfriend breaks up with you? What's the first thing you think? I'm just not worthy. I'm just not good enough. Now, how many people carry that through life? That's what Satan does to beat you down. But here this servant, this stranger servant, he's a stranger in this world, people don't understand him, and he's a servant of God. He says, yeah, I'm broken, but you don't let them do this to me. I'm trusting you that you're going to take away and approach for contempt for me. How? Because I'm going to keep your commandments, and I'm going to honor you, and I'm asking you to live bountifully with me. Will he honor that? Yes. He'll lift up those who are humble. So keep your head up. It's okay. Actually, as we study in John, if they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. They don't know how to deal with us. That's why he said, even though princes sit and talk against me, they're plotting against this man's life. Your servant meditates on your statutes. Now, that's interesting. They're planning to do away with him, devising schemes. What does the servant, the stranger servant, do? Does he plot back revenge? No, he goes to the counsel of God's word. How would you want me to deal with them? How would you want me to act? Well, we're mindful of what Jesus said. When your enemy curses you, what do? You speak well of them. You bless them. You love them. You pray for them. Is that totally opposite of what they're doing? And that's what he's saying here is, even though they sit and devise evil against me, I'm going to meditate on your statue. I'm going to go back to what you would want me to do, and I'm going to act on that. And when you have that attitude, does God notice that person and say, here's someone that I'm going to deal with bountifully. I'm going to give them grace and do for things for themselves that they couldn't do for themselves alone. And that didn't come out well. Then finally, verse 24, we're in Psalms 119. We're at the last gimel. He says, your testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors. Isn't it interesting? People go to counseling for lots of things, and it's appropriate. Help on their taxes, fitness counselors, emotional counselors, marriage counselors, finance counselors. But what's the most important counselor you can have? It's how to get through this life and have a bountiful life and get out of here and go to heaven. And he says, with my counselor, it's your word. Do you feel that the psalmist has a love affair with God's word? Do you get that feeling? It's not just something he has to do out of rote memory and just to memorize it. And it's not just some academic. He gets his life sustenance out of here. Spiritually, it feeds him and lifts him up in the midst of all this adversary. So he finds joy This word is interesting how it could be translated, but it's just this delight in his word because it gives him the direction what he needs. Now, this is for Heather. I said, how am I going to illustrate this? Some people, you know the difference between introverts and extroverts, right? Introvert is one that gets energy from being alone. It energizes them. It's not a negative thing being an introvert, right? We have that kind of cultural thing about it. It's negative. No, they just get energized by being alone. They're given more to self-introspection and thinking, and they're into details. They don't want to do things always spontaneously. And too much social activity drains them. Now, the extrovert's totally the opposite. They get energy and energized from being with people. So when they're alone, they get drained, probably because they don't like themselves and they need to be with someone else. No, I didn't say. All right? So it's just the opposite, right? So this guy said, I'm staying home tonight. The other one said, hey, yippee, I'm staying home tonight. Now, maybe you're living with one or the other. Now you understand it. It's not bad. It's just the way they're wired from birth. And so here's a battery. This one's always social, you know, networking and everything, and it just energizes her. This person, writing something down, love to write. They're actually sometimes better writing than they are communicating socially. They can socialize. That's a misnomer about introverts. They don't know how to socialize. No, they can do it really, really well. It just drains them. That's all. Doesn't mean they can't. But there's the difference, the introvert and the extrovert. Now, why would I say that? I like this quote I read. For introverts, to be alone with our thoughts is as restorative as sleeping, as nourishing as eating. Any introverts in here want to go, amen? Oh, boy, I'm surprised. And I don't know that because I've always claimed to be an introvert. And then my daughter said, no, Dad, you're an extrovert. No, I don't. It drains me. But maybe, I don't know. Now, why do I say that? Because here is really the Christian servant stranger. We're a stranger in this world. And he, the Christian, to be alone with God's word is more restorative than sleeping. And it's more nourishing than eating. Is that not true? Isn't that what we just talked about? For the stranger servant, we're strangers on this world, and we're a servant of God while we're here, and to be back in his word is so restorative. That's what he's trying to get you to get. It's draining being a Christian, isn't it? It takes a lot of energy, spiritually and physically and emotionally. It's hard. I found myself crying when John, you know, it was read that he was announced that he's, you know, resigning. It's hard. And I want to thank him. Is he here? I want you to thank his wife, too. Thank his wife, because being an elder's wife is tough, too. They have to go through a lot and wait a lot of hours and just deal. They have to supply energy. It's hard. What restores the soul? It's his word. It's going back to it. It's your delight. It's your counselor. It's where I get my bountiful loving from. I didn't think I'd ever quote, this is for Ann, Audrey Hepburn. I said, why would you quote her? Well, here it is. I just had to love it. Living is like tearing through a museum. And that way some people go through life. Oh, this is great. Look at that. Look at that. Not until later do you really start absorbing what you saw. Thinking about it, looking it up in a book, and remembering because you can't take it all in at once. That's the way a lot of people go through life, don't they? And they never stop and they really ask, what am I here for? What's really important? Who am I serving? And they don't look for the beautiful things. The beautiful things that are in God's word. They're there. They're there, and they're speaking to us. I'll just share one with you, and then the last one will be yours. Jesus in Luke chapter 10 sent his disciples out. He gave them authority over power to serpents. And they come back and it says they're amazed. They're just so excited. He said, Lord, even the demons are subject to you, us in your name. I mean, it had to be exciting. The power they had, they come back just so energized and charged, and they should be. Here's what Jesus said. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. This is not blood clots. And what it means by that is, yeah, be happy, but there's something more exciting than this. That's what a not blood clot says. Not this, but something else. So not in this that the spirits are subject to you, but here's what you really should get excited about. Your names are recorded in heaven. Now, how many times you read that and just missed over? Now, God has a book. Is it a physical book? No. But it's better than a physical book because he wrote it. No one's going to take anything out of it. It's not going to be stolen from it. And he knows everybody's name that's in it. And when you became a child of God and you were born again through your baptism into Christ, he wrote your name down in the book of life. Isn't that what it says? He said, if you want to be happy about something, if you really want to be excited, you rejoice that your name is recorded. It's like recorded in the county records. And when it's in there, everyone can see it. And it can't be removed when it's been recorded in the county courthouse. This is recorded in heaven. You're going to be there. He knows who you are. And he's waiting for your work on this earth as a stranger servant to be done. Little beautiful things that are found in the Word, if we just keep going back, it keeps encouraging and it's restorative to our soul. If you're with us and you've been touched in any way, you're not living right with God, why not make a change right now? If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing a song?